Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Sean McGuinness Podcast. Now, today's episode is going to be a very interesting one. We're going to delve into the world of fitness technology. We're going to look at the best apps, the best technology that we use with our clientele to help them get into the best shape possible. And we can also kind of talk about where you would utilize other versions and maybe ones that I'll recommend, and we can discuss it as well. Our clientele, we specialize in helping busy executives get in shape on a hectic schedule. So it's no surprise this type of clientele are very interested in their tech and their fitness tech and helping them use to get in the best shape possible. The most obvious place to start will be your fitness wearables, okay? You have your Apple Watches, your Fitbits, your Samsungs, your Garmins. I'm sure there's a few other versions. The first reason that we will utilize something like this is our general activity. So you probably heard of NEAT, and that's non-exercise activity thermogenesis. It basically just means how much you move around during the day, generally outside of the gym. To give you an example of how important this is and kind of how many calories it burns, the difference between an office worker, a sedentary office worker, versus someone that, say, works on the building site where they're moving around so much, the difference in calories could be about 2,000 to 2,500 calorie burn difference per day. So basically, if someone had exact same metabolism and height and weight and shape, etc., one works at a desk, the other one works in the building site person could eat 2,500 more calories a day and get in shape versus the office worker are going to have to diet really hard. So an easy place to start when we're looking at a clientele is utilizing, just getting them to move more. This is especially important in today's world where it's more set up to be sedentary. So for example, you'll have people that work in the Sydney CBD where I work and base myself off our face-to-face business, and they may get up in the morning, they may drive to the train station, they may get the train to work, the train station beside the office, they may sit down all day, they may get the train home and get in the car and drive home and sit down for the rest of the evening. So they're not moving that much. Now, it must be said that humans do have a natural inclination to be lazy. Okay, we are energy conservers. At no other time has humans gone out and tried to voluntarily burn calories, because that wouldn't make sense. We want to conserve them for the times we really need them. So we move more for purpose. So considering that we're in a more of a sedentary world these days, people working in the office, and then we have a natural inclination to be lazy, it's no surprise then that wearables are very handy to give us a conscious marker of how much we move around during the day. And then we can actually use that to move around a little bit more and make getting in shape a little bit easier. As we said, if I get someone to move around a little bit more, generally then they can be a little bit more quote unquote flexible with their nutrition. If someone's really sedentary, you have to be so on point with your food and your calories, and it just makes in shape getting a little bit harder. The more we move, the more calories you burn. It makes fitting foods and drinks we enjoy into our plan a little bit easier because we're burning more calories, and thus that then is more sustainable in the long term. Someone's very sedentary, yeah, they can be very strict with the food for a short period of time and potentially have to go on very low calories, but that's not sustainable. So this is where the role of wearables will come into play to actually make that more conscious, so then we can consciously move around a little bit more outside of the gym. As I said, someone could train every day, but if they're very sedentary the rest of the day, it still counts as sedentary. They're not going to be burning a lot of calories. So you've heard of the 10,000 step rule. Yeah, that came into effect. It was just a pedometer company trying to market. I think it was based on research that like 8,000 steps, above 8,000, it is very positive for most markers of our health, and they just used 10,000. But I don't have a problem with that. The more can we get someone to move, the better. So 10,000 steps, that could be the same calorie burn as 2 to 3 training, higher training sessions. So to put it in perspective, so we want both. We want to get someone to train. Ideally, we'll weight train 3 days a week to maintain that muscle mass. And then we'll use our activity outside of the gym as a way of burning more calories combined with the food. And then that will help us strip the fat off. Now, the one I wear personally is the Apple Watch. I do like it for the fact that it gamifies our activity a little bit more. So you have obviously your fitness rings on it. I think it's stand, move, exercise. And you can set your activity to say 8 to 10,000 steps. I would always recommend someone move more than 8,000 steps. Below that, it can have an impact. They've seen when you're more sedentary, you actually get hungry, your appetite's a bit off. So it's a double whammy. When we're not moving as much, we actually get hungry. So that's not ideal if we're trying to lose weight. So above 8,000 would be my recommendation. The more the merrier if someone can after that. Apple gamifies it, so it hits your little rewards when you set your activity and you hit that, and it kind of lights up like a little like a gaming machine, pokey machine, slot machine. It gives you all those little lights, so that can help. You can use it, and then you can add your friends on it, and you can see what they're doing. I'll get my clients to wear some kind of wearable if they can do an Apple Watch, and then I'll can link up to that so I can see their activity and make sure they're moving properly throughout the day. So obviously any of them are great. Yes, there's going to be a certain percentage of the population that get very neurotic with numbers, and then that can go beyond a level that's unhealthy as well. So like calorie tracking, if that works for you, do it for a certain period of time, get used to how much you need to move on a daily basis. And if you're getting really neurotic with that numbers and it's actually affecting your mental health, okay, cool, then you can go periods of time without it. There's been a handful of people, my clientele, over the last few years that, yeah, I say to them after a while, look, you're on point with everything, you actually were getting a bit too much. It's affecting you. So that net health, the net positive is not that much. So take it off. Let's go for a period of time, whatever, and just keep the same level of movement. So yes, your iPhone does tell you how many steps if you have on during the day. Just go into the health app. But yeah, definitely my recommendation would be to have some kind of wearable. I've had clients tell me, God, I didn't know, I don't move around that much throughout the day. So it's like calorie tracking. You want to do it for a period of time to actually see, get that conscious, and then you want to work your habits to make that unconscious. So that is the wearables with activity. Definitely recommend some kind of wearable. Next, we have recovery, and we can say stress in here as well. So you've seen where other kind of wearables like Whoop, the Oura Ring, the Whoop Band, the Oura Ring, and there is a heart rate monitor called the Polar H10 strap. It's probably one of the best heart rate monitors, but we're going to talk about that after. Now, using a technology called heart rate variability, which basically measures the variability between our kind of relaxed nervous system and our fight or flight. When there's a high variability between those beats, those heartbeats, it means you are in a relaxed straight state. You are recovered. The stress on your body is very low. Now, we can use this in a number of ways. If I have very busy clientele that are that type A personality that don't stop but are also data driven, I'll use this with them to say, look, when your heart rate variability is low, it means you're under a lot of stress. It means your recovery is low. That's going to obviously tie into our plan. The more stressed you are, your hunger is going to go up. You can't train as hard. You're putting yourself at risk of obviously burning out, and then whatever illness you, or whether that's physical or mental, you're more predisposed to. Obviously, as you go more towards that kind of burnt out state, you're going to predispose yourself to that. So, for example, myself is asthma. I have asthma. And I actually get a bit more anxious the more stressed I am. So when I'm near anywhere, my heart rate variability is low. I know at this stage, but if I wanted a number to tell me to pull back, we'll use something like this. Now, you can use this in your plan. In regards to training, if your heart rate variability is low, it means you need more restorative work, or let's just say some of the apps will use like a green light, orange light, red light. If your heart rate, and they might say on the apps actually red, orange, green. Let's say you're in the red zone, you're completely burnt out, your heart rate variability is very, very low. You need something like, you may need to, instead of training hard, you need to go for a massage or a sauna or go for a walk. You need something very low intensity that will help you. You need to focus on your sleep that night, your hydration, nutrition. You need to restore your body back up so we can actually train hard. If it's in the gym, mobility, yoga, some really low intensity cardio, maybe some accessories, arms, shoulders, those smaller muscles that don't impact on the body. You need a lot of restorative work to get that heart rate variability back up. Let's say you're in the orange zone. Okay, that's like your medium intensity day. So if you're in the gym, you're training, but you're not maybe pushing towards failure. You can do some moderate intensity work where your heart rate's in that 130 to 150 zone. And again, you may still focus on getting the heart rate variability higher, so still focus on all the stuff you can do outside of it, anything that will help you relax, massage, sleep, saunas, cold plunge pools, anything like that, that you enjoy, hobby, socializing, anything that help will get your heart rate variability a bit higher. When your heart rate variability is very high, it means your stress on the body is low, your recovery is high. So those are the days you can hit it very hard in the gym, and yeah, you can go towards failure if you have enough training experience. You can do some higher heart rate intervals if you're at that stage, and yeah, generally you can hit it harder. So that will give you an inclination of where you're at. Obviously, as it ties in, as we said, to your nutrition, if your heart rate variability is low, you're under a lot of stress, not only are you more getting towards more point where you might get sick, and actually then you can't train and then you can't lose fat, so you might blow your plan out for a few weeks. The more stressed you are, compared to two episodes ago, you're more at risk of like stress eating, binging, and stress drinking. You're not going to sleep as well. Your hunger cravings are going to be all over the place for high calorie food. So that's how it's going to feed back into that. So yes, if you're the person that likes to go, 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 but you're also data driven and you may need to see that number before you actually stop and pull back, heart rate variability is a very good idea. Now, as we said, the main ones that offer it will be the Whoop band. Whoop band is not going to be as accurate as the other two, the Oura Ring and the Polar H10, for the reason that you're supposed to get your heart rate variability first thing in the morning. Okay, and the Whoop band is kind of doing it all day and all night long. So obviously, if you don't have anything and you want and you like the Whoop band, yes, you can still use it for sure. It's going to be somewhat accurate. The better one's going to be the Oura Ring, okay, and I think the Polar H10 is the most accurate. So the Polar H10 is a heart rate strap from the brand Polar. You'll put it around your chest in the morning, just under your rib cage. That will connect to the app on your phone. The app is called Elite HRV, and yes, that will just get your reading first thing in the morning, and then that will kind of give you a spit out on the app on your phone. Obviously, if that's too much of an effort, the Oura Ring is good as well with that. And again, these tie into other things as well. So the Whoop band, obviously, as I said, I don't know if I mentioned that, that's a wearable as well. So some of these do multiple things. And then it's up to you kind of what you prefer from there, but these are my recommendations. So that's our stress and recovery. Let's look at sleep tracking for those that want to track their sleep. Now, with our sleep, it's kind of like Owen Lacey says, it's kind of like golf and sex. The more you think about it, the worse you are at it. So if you're someone where we've all lied in bed and you're going to go, God, you're kind of counting the time, I'm going to get 7 hours sleep. Oh, God, I have to be up. And then that actually affects your sleep. So for those people, I may not recommend the sleep tracker because it actually might make it worse. But for those that want it, the best one I'm aware of is the Oura Ring. So that's the best one. And obviously that ties in with your heart rate variability. So let's look at some of the pros and cons of all these wearables. And then you can see the one which you want to pick. So that's the sleep tracker, and that's probably the best one. Obviously the other ones do it to an extent. Apple Watch and the Fitbits, but the best ones are Oura Ring and the Whoop Band too as well. Now let's look at our workouts. For weight training, you probably don't need a wearable, because when we're looking at weight training, it's less about heart rate and it's more about actually progressively overall, which means just trying to lift a little bit more each session. That's going to be more important than anything. Where you can use the technology will be more towards the cardiovascular training and seeing what your heart rate's at, and then you can pick or whatever zone you're trying to train in, that will give you an accurate picture of that. So for example, for most people, when we're looking at cardio, and again, go back and listen to the previous episodes if you haven't, where we've done it full ones on cardio, what we're trying to do is get in a range to train our aerobic system, and that's going to be a range for the most part of around 130 to 150 beats per minute. Generally, the less fit you are, that may be on the lower end, and then the fitter you are, it's going to be on the higher end. So we can use wearables to see our heart rates at that. Aerobic training, you'll do it with low intensity activity. Again, just think of your general cardio machines, the bikes, jogging, incline walking, rower, skier, insert cardio machine there. And that's going to be where it can be very useful, especially even I've talked about before when I was getting back into running and I wanted to build my aerobic system for running. I would run, but unbeknownst, you can kind of push a little bit harder. The music's playing, you're outside, and you don't want to get lapped by people. So you can push a little bit harder, but when you actually check your heart rate, it's very high. It's way above that aerobic zone, which is not good when you're starting out straight away because you're not training. The aerobic zone, basically, you're trying to train your heart at the right intensity so it can fill up nice and big with blood. Okay, and then it can pump that blood out. So think of a muscle where you're stretching it to its capability and then it's contracting. And when it keeps stretching and contracting, the muscles around your heart and the chambers are actually going to get stronger. And then they're going to have a better ability to pump more blood out. Again, that's one of the things. And we have other stuff where it increases your capillaries and your oxygen uptake. But generally, that's the zone we're trying to train in for most people. And when I was running, I was way above that. So I wasn't getting the right adaptations, what I was looking for. So when I went back and did it, and I would run up to the point where my heart rate kind of goes above 150. And then I would walk. And then I would just repeat that. So these wearables and things that track your heart rate actually are very good. Obviously, some of the machines in the gym, they will do that anyway. But yeah, if you're outside or you wanted to track your own, I use the Apple Watch personally. I think a lot of Fitbits are okay. The most accurate thing would be the Polar H10. So going back to that again, that's a chest strap. Any of the chest straps are going to be the most accurate. So I personally use the Polar H10 with my clients, and that will come up on an app on your phone and you can see where you're at with that. I know Samsung and some of those Fitbits do an accompanying chest strap. That would be good as well. The sensors on the wearables aren't as accurate as a chest strap. So for those that want the best, those would be my recommendations. Obviously, it's not the biggest thing. If you're into your fitness and you a little bit more and you want to be absolutely perfect, they're my recommendations. But obviously some of the wearables will do a decent job of seeing where you're at as well with that. On the topic of cardio and running specifically, and obviously cycling within that, some people will use Strava, which is another good way of obviously having all your records of your cardio workouts, but just as importantly, getting that social aspect into it. So just like with the Apple Watches, I'm sure the other ones are just can't remember. I definitely know the Apple Watches because I use it for myself. You can add your friends on it and you can use that kind of like a social community. And when you're using activity and you're tying the social aspect of being a human in with it, that kind of strengthens it tenfold. We see this with group classes, we see it with cycling groups, running groups. That really helps to reinforce that behavior and kind of gives you a positive reinforcement with that. And the habit you are trying to get in the habit of doing, for example, exercising, is the social norm in that group, which is very important because you're more likely to do it then. So Strava for those people. For those people that want to run or get back into running, there's definitely an app I recommend called Couch to 5K. The mistake, just like I mentioned before, which I was doing, when you get back into running, people will just try to run straight away where you haven't built your body up to that point. From a heart rate point of view, your heart rate's probably going to go through the roof and you're not in that aerobic zone anymore. And then from a physical point of view as well, you're not conditioned your tendons and your muscles and your joints to actually handle that load straight away. So you need to build it up, jogging, walking, running, and you need to cycle that. So an app, Couch to 5K, is a nice way of doing that. Again, easy to outsource it because you just put the headphones in and the person just says walk, jog, run. Obviously not as specific as if a personal trainer, a good one, is telling you what to do, but I think that's a very good alternative. I actually get my mum to use that and she started using that as well and loves it, and a lot of my clients. And then I think they do a Couch to 10K as well when you want to progress after that. So that's that. For those that do interval training or circuit training or like aerobic interval training, there's a interval app called Tabata Pro. And you can just time it so your work to rest ratios and it will tell you to go and then stop. Now you might say, well, I can use my watch for that, but you'd be surprised how just having that there outsources your brain to stop thinking about it, and you just go when it says green and stop when it says red. I use that all the time. It makes the workout way more bearable. Sometimes cardio when you're in the gym type equipment can be a bit monotonous. That makes it much easier. So I use that on the assault bike, where if I'm trying to do an aerobic day, I might time it like 15 seconds on, 45 seconds off. Obviously use it in conjunction with your heart rate, but that's a nice way of, I know I can push and then my heart rate's going to stay in that zone. And yeah, that just makes it much easier versus you're trying to do cardio yourself for 30 minutes. It's much, much harder. So that's my recommendation with that. You can even use the Tabata Pro if you're doing a weight training session. You might be training with your friends or in a gym or your PT. It's a useful way of doing that as well. So let's say if we think of 15 reps, 10 to 15 reps, 3 seconds down, 1 second up, 4 times 15, that would be about 60 seconds. Okay, and then you can rest for 30. So as a way of being a bit more time efficient, you can just go off that as well. Another use for that. Now, when we look specifically at a busy clientele, a problem which we've mentioned before they'll have is winding down in the evening. Okay, an app I'll recommend for that, there's a few, to try to block like your emails, social media, work. You can use the Opal app or Freedom. They're two good ones that I've used before myself as well. So you can stop your brain thinking. And again, you just have to remember apps and phones are very addictive these days. So you are trying to use whatever you can to make that inconvenient versus convenient. Because, yeah, the notifications, they hire the best neuroscientists in the world to make these apps as addictive as possible. So it's very hard to get off them. So we ironically need to use another app to be able to do that as well. And then for those that need to work in the evening where you have to get something done, obviously put your phone in that on nighttime mode on the Apple stuff will do that. And you can also use another app called Flux, F.L-U-X, which just takes the blue light from your screen and it'll allow you to work and then not get that blue light. I've had clients, again, use blue blocking glasses as well, so they can do something that's urgent and then still be able to sleep after. With all this stuff, we're always talking about habits. Now, within my own software that I'll use with clientele, we'll do most of the stuff. It will link up to all these wearables and habits and I can track all this. But for those that don't train with me and want to focus on specific habits, because when we look at overall body transformation, it's just a sum of all these really small habits throughout the day. And it's better to just focus on maybe the easiest ones first, or you can go the other way and you can go low hanging fruit, or you can focus on the biggest ones and then try to replace them or add ones in. And you may need specific habit tracking apps to be able to do that. It's a good idea, because people think, oh, I need to move more and I need to eat better. But if you look at eating better and moving more, it's the sum of all these smaller habits. So it's the sum of, if you look at eating better, shopping, prepping the food, or organizing the food prep. It's all these smaller habits. So for people that are coming from a place where their lifestyle is quote unquote bad, you need to focus on these specific habits first, and almost like the pieces of a puzzle, get them done, and then you can focus on the more intricacies of fat loss, calories, macros, etc. So habit tracking apps are very good for this. There's Streaks for iPhone users, and for those weird Android people, I think there's one called Habit Now. Yes, so give those a try when you're looking at specific habits that are holding you back, or ones that you're trying to add into your plan to be able to eat better and achieve a body transformation. Now, the last few we have here, we have hydration. Obviously a very important role in terms of overall health and fat loss and satiating, keeping us full, and digestion. I myself struggle with this, especially when it's cold. You don't necessarily like drinking water. So we can use apps that will make this a bit more conscious. Again, Apple have a water bottle which you can link up to your phone, and you will type in your requirements and it will flash when you need to drink more water, which I think is a good idea, and you'll fill it up. So I think that is great. And there's some other ones which I'm not aware of, but I just know the Apple one is very good. But there's definitely some cool technology coming out with hydration that will be out. But yeah, that's just an easy one for now. Now, a big one which we've taken this far to mention, obviously, are calorie tracking apps. Pretty well known at this stage, MyFitnessPal, which is a very good one. There is no real better ones. MyFitnessPal probably has a really big database, which is good to search for whatever foods you have. And the other one is worth mentioning, is called Chronotype. So you might try both of those out if you're at that stage and see which one you prefer. There is some cool apps coming out and that will get better as we go, where you can literally take pictures of your meal and then it will come up with the amount of calories that's in it, which is pretty cool. The one I'm aware of at the moment is called Snap Calorie. I haven't used it personally yet, because with my clientele, I can just get them to take pictures of their food and they can send it to me and I'll roughly know. But yes, could be worth trying out. I'll probably try it myself just to see what it's like. That works off AI. There will be more ones coming out like that as well. I know that was co-founded by one of the engineers at Google. On this topic of nutrition, one which is an interesting point, which is not going to be for everyone, but can have a big benefit. And this is called a continuous glucose monitor. Now, you probably more associate this more with like diabetes, of seeing where someone's blood sugar marker is at and making sure it stays in that level. And obviously for those people using diabetes, they'll need to use insulin to be able to keep that in check. And then the foods that eat are important. But for overall health, it is recommended that, like, when someone eats food, we want to eat food that keeps our blood sugar relatively stable. Preventing massive blood sugar spikes and crashes will help us keep our hunger and appetite in check, and then help us eat better. If we're constantly, our blood sugar is going up and down, especially the more unhealthy someone is, they don't have the ability to regulate the blood sugar like a healthy person would be. They're going to get big sugar cravings, and it's going to impact on their energy and their appetite and the hunger and all these things, which make it harder then to lose weight. So having a continuous glucose monitor, it's basically just a little thing you'll put on your arm. I'm pretty sure you need someone qualified to be able to put it in, a phlebotomist. I'm pretty sure that's someone that takes blood, not to be confused with a florist, which works for flowers. But yeah, you'll need someone qualified to put it in, or a doctor or something like that. And then it will be connected to the app you have on your phone. And it's interesting then to see the foods that you eat, how it will affect your blood sugar. And again, it will affect each person differently to most extent. So it can be used nicely to see what foods agree with you and keep your blood sugar stable. And there's trainers that have used this with their clients, and their clients lost weight purely because instead of calorie counting, they're simply using another form of restriction or healthy eating, and they're choosing foods that keeps the blood sugar in check. Most of this is obviously going to be whole foods with protein, lots of fiber, that keeps us full and satiated. But by using the blood sugar, they're going to eat these foods, they're going to eat less of the foods that spike their blood sugar, which is going to be more processed foods, and that could be a useful way for that person to control their calories in a different way. When it comes to your workouts, we definitely want to be logging your weights, making sure you're progressively overloading. So most people forget what they lift. So apart from the traditional pen and paper workout log, you can use I know there's an app, Strength Log, you can use for that. Obviously the software I use, because our training is the best ever, and we have an app we use. And the last thing in terms of tracking your body goals, whether it's weight loss, which is going to be most people that listen to this, I'd recommend getting a scale that you can link up to your phone, because your weight loss is not going to be every day. It's going to fluctuate a lot. So when you can use an app, and you will weigh yourself every day, for example, Withings is a good one. You can see the fluctuations and you can see the trend. If you're a woman, obviously that's going to be over the course of a month, which is going to fluctuate a lot. So definitely do that. It will graph it out and you can see then the trend. It will go down. It won't drop every day, but it will go in a linear trend downwards. In regards to transforming our body, we obviously want to build some muscle tone and maintain what we have while we lose the fat around it. Weight will be one part of the equation. Obviously, for those with the resources, a DEXA scan is probably the best and most accurate way of looking at your overall body composition, which is your body fat percentage, what goes off how much muscle you have to how much fat you have. The other scales, the electrical impedance scales that you put your hands on, they're not accurate. Anything else that kind of says your body fat percentage, apart from a DEXA and someone very skilled with calipers, it's not going to be accurate. So unless you have that available, don't worry about what the other spits out, because it'll be affected a lot by your hydration. The other tool that you'll use is a measurement tape. Easy, most successful, apart from the very traditional. For those that want the high-end one, there is one called Renpho, R-E-N-P-H-O, tape measure. and that again will be connected to an app, so you can put it around it, put it around your waist, for example. It will tighten up, it will give you the most accurate way of doing that, especially if you're doing it yourself. So that is that. They're your tools to measure everything as well. So that is all I have here. That are the main ones I will use with clients or recommend. I hope that helped kind of give you a nice representation of what's out there and what tools are out there you can use with that as well. And yes, if any of that helped, please give me your feedback. Now, for those people that don't have the time to worry about all this and want the exact blueprint to transform the body with our coaching services, we will give you the answer and tell you what to do. You just carry it out. For those busy professionals that want to transform their body while maintaining a hectic schedule, simply send us a DM with the word results to myself on Instagram. Or you can do the same. Email us the word results to Sean@liveonperformance.com, and we will see, and we will send the information and see if we're a good fit for our coaching program. So there you go. This episode of the podcast in the books, and I'll speak to you all in the next episode.